Ted struck Ryan a glancing blow on the side of the skull, forcing him to take a couple of staggering steps backward. It made Ryan blink, but he didn't fall, and he didn't drop the panga. The energy of its thrust took the giant snake farther forward than it had intended, and it dropped a loop of coils onto a lower branch. That, in turn, made it relax its hold on the unconscious boy. Dean slumped on the grass, only one single coil around his chest preventing him from falling free. The reptile's long head weaved back, eyes turning to look down at its victim. Just for a moment, the creature's attention wandered away from Ryan.
No shooting!
He powered his way in, ducking under the reptile's neck, swinging the panga upward, hacking at the pale, soft skin of the exposed throat. Cold spots of blood pattered onto Ryan's face, nearly blinding him.
Again!
Something hit Ryan on the left shoulder, numbing the muscle, nearly knocking him to the earth. But he kept his balance, hastily wiping his face on his sleeve, clearing away the snake's blood, seeing the black shadow of the head driving toward him for a third time. He managed to half-duck under, half-parry the blow, bringing the 18-inch blade around and down, putting all of his strength into it. Ryan felt the edge bite, drawing it through the muscle behind the creature's head. The steel grated on something that he knew must be bone. He tugged the blade free, dodging away to his left in anticipation of another deadly thrust from the snake, but it didn't happen.
You got it! One more time!
Ryan blinked away the sticky mix of blood and sweat from his good eye, seeing that the python was seriously wounded. A dark ichor was flowing from the gaping lips of the wound in its neck.
All right, you bastard.
This time, Ryan had leisure to measure his attack, take his time, step in with the cautious shuffle of the great knife fighters. He dodged the swinging head and brought the panga up and around and down. The long skull was severed from the trunk, falling to the dirt. Dean dropped free, landing at his father's feet, his eyes closed, his face like ivory. The vast length of the giant snake's body began to thrash and flail among the branches of the baobab. Leaves fell, and part of the main bole of the tree split in half. Blood jetted everywhere, and the air seemed filled with an insensate maelstrom of thunderous noise and movement. Ryan dropped the blood-slick weapon and scooped up his son, carrying him away to safety on the near side of the clearing. He stooped and laid Dean on the grass among his friends. The boy seemed no weight at all, and his arms and legs dangled limply.
Mildred?
Move away, Ryan. It's probably just shock.
Mildred knelt and felt for Dean's pulse, nodding.
Steady and firm. He'll be fine.
On the farther edge of the glade, the headless trunk of the giant boa constrictor still moved in the tree, but more slowly, the coils gradually sliding off, finishing in an untidy mountain of muscle on the trampled bloody turf. It seemed that the bright hues of the scales were already fading, the bronze gleam becoming dulled. By the time that Dean's eyes twitched open, the dead snake was completely still. Mildred gently wiped the sweat from Dean's forehead.
How do you feel?
Throat's dry. Chest hurts a lot.
Mildred unbuttoned his dark blue shirt and pulled it open, noting the livid bruises that blotched the white skin around his ribs.
Damn. You can see the actual scale marks on his flesh.
Any broken bones?
I can't tell yet. Do you feel like standing up, Dean, so I can check you out?
Might want to be sick.
Let me help you, son.
You killed that motherfucking snake?
The boy looked up at his father.
Thanks, Dad.
Sure. Want a lift?
Dad?
What?
A trembly hand beckoned him lower so that the others wouldn't hear.
I have to tell you something, Dad.
Are you injured?
No.
So what then?
The boy's pale cheeks flushed.
I think I pissed my pants.
Father and son washed in the turgid waters of the slow-moving river. It was good to wash off the stinking blood of the snake and to try to cool off a little, though the water was only a little less warm than body heat. Dean didn't seem to have suffered too much damage from his ordeal. The bruising would soon begin to turn yellow and fade, and Mildred was certain there were no fractures.
He'll be stiff and sore for a few days.
The boy found his fingers were tender and his neck hurt when he tried to turn his head too quickly to the left. He swam easily, but Ryan noticed that the boy was careful not to move any distance from him. The experience had taught him a degree of caution, which was no bad thing to learn when you were moving through Deathlands.
Best get out and put your clothes on, boy.
Okay, Dad.
They'd both stripped out of their top layers, and the boy had also removed his underclothes, washing them hastily in the river before pulling them on again over his pale loins. The others were all sitting on a fallen log, talking quietly together, and looked up as father and son rejoined them.
Mildred and Doc reckon this must have been a sort of park, but there might have been other parts to it. Could have been a zoo. It'd explain the giant snake.
Ryan nodded at Christie's words.
Makes sense. Best be careful. Everyone ready now? Then let's go.
A bridge stretched across the river, with the rusted remnants of an iron chain dangling from it. A rotted sign still carried the message, "Please keep out. Service personnel only."
Looks like the end of the attraction.
There appear to be the poor stranded hulks of some pleasure craft lying over yonder.
Doc pointed with the silver ferrule of his sword stick.
I imagine they carried the seekers of joy around this strange jungle environ.
The boats had been plastic and looked as if they'd once had some sort of awning over them. It was still possible to see that they had all borne numbers on their blunt bows.
And still make out names on them. Yeah, one's called Queen of the South. That's Old Man River.
Ah, Paul Robeson.
Listen.
Sounded like a shot. Way off, though.
Could have been an M16 carbine.
JB looked around.
Can't tell distance or direction in thick undergrowth like this.
The path wound on. Ryan was leading, and he was the first to see the huge fallen tree ahead of them. It had been some kind of ornamental redwood with a massive girth. By its condition, it could easily have toppled over during the brief days of nukefall. The path vanished under it, and it was possible to make out a dense growth of trees and bushes on the far side of the great hulk. It was an effort to scramble over the tree, and Dean had to be helped on both sides. His sore ribs made any kind of physical exertion difficult, though he resented not being able to cope on his own.
Normally I could jump this easy. Fucking snake fucked me up, that's all.
Ryan caught a warning glance from Christy.
Try and keep the swearing down, son, all right?
Sure, Dad.
The boy looked at Christy.
Sorry, Christy.
The traveling became infinitely harder on the far side of the tree. In among the droids, it seemed as if the paths had been kept open by animals. Here, there was just unbroken undergrowth. Mildred ducked under some overhanging branches that were dappled with sweet-smelling pink flowers.
Ugh, a botanist's paradise.
Doc raised an arm to prevent from being slapped in the face by tendrils of thorny bush.
But a walker's purgatory, Dr. Wyeth.
Hold it, everybody.
Ryan had seen light ahead. The bushes and trees seemed to be growing thinner, and he'd spotted what looked like some sort of wider path. The others stopped and waited in silence. Ryan glanced back and beckoned to Christy.
You feel anything, babe?
She closed her eyes and concentrated. Sweat was beating her forehead, but she ignored it.
Yeah, there's something around here. Confused sort of feeling, but I'm sure of it. People, a lot of them. Muddled signal coming through. Sorry, I can't tell you any more than that, lover.
It'll do.
Ryan waved the others to join them, and they all squatted in a closed circle on the damp earth under a gigantic bougainvillea.
Seems like we're close to civilization. Now, we know that most vills are fairly safe. Outlanders are regarded with suspicion, but we should be okay if we stick together.
He looked around.
Or we can go back to the redoubt and try another jump someplace else.
Anywhere's the same as anywhere, isn't it?
By the three Kennedys! On the scale of all-time facile remarks, madam, yours would stand remarkably near the top.
Mildred pulled a face at Doc.
Why, whatever do you mean, Dr. Tanner?
I mean that I have personally encountered a number of anywheres that were profoundly wonderful. I have also inhabited some anywheres that would have made the scuppers of a Victorian slaving ship seem like the gates of heaven.
Doc's right, but there's only one way to find out, and that's to go take a look. Man can get awful tired of always turning his back on the future.
Mildred laid a hand on JB's arm.
I'll drink to that, John.
Ryan waited.
So it looks like we got some votes for going on and breaking some ice. Any objections? No? All right, we'll move on.
If they were somewhere on the outskirts of a frontier ville, it was one of the trimmest and neatest that Ryan had ever seen. The wide paths were swept and lined with rectangular stones,
each painted a shimmering white. Beds of flowers were set out in geometric patterns, and small streams meandered over delicate pebbles. In the first 100 yards, they passed 4 small fountains. In one,